worship together like this. Special welcome to those who are joining us online. It's good to be together as we worship our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. God is good, isn't he? And God has sustained us through another week of life and relationships and work and now winter and snow and all that comes along with that, with schools and getting places and so on. And God's grace has been upon all of us. So it's appropriate for us this morning to gather in this place together as his people and worship him and thank him for all that he has given to us, especially, of course, the salvation that he offers us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So would you stand this morning for our call to worship? As we come into worship this morning, we're reminded of the words of the psalmist who says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, but come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." That's who we worship this morning, and let's do it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now that God has greeted us, would you take a moment to greet one another as you feel comfortable?
but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When my race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Be seated.
All right, kids, this is your cue. You're dismissed for children's worship at this time. You know where to go, so make your way out in that direction. A couple of announcements before we pray this morning. Some of the things that we're praying for. You saw in the bulletin, and something that we announced last week was the passing of Ginny Boonstra, Dave Visser's mother. So we want to continue our prayers for Dave and Pam as they grieve the loss of this loved one. And also, some of you might know or not know, but we want to pray this morning for Randy and Dawn Smits. Dawn's mother passed away on Friday. So let's keep Randy and Dawn in our prayers for God's comfort and peace in their lives as well. The offering boxes are in the back for the church ministries. The other offering today is for Christian education. So may God bless you as you give to the ministries of the church and to the efforts of Christian education. Just a reminder, too, that we're back in the new year, and tonight we are going to continue our Bible study on the book of Romans over in the fellowship room at 5:30 this evening. So if you're up for it, ready to go and go deep and study God's word and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, we invite you to come tonight. There's food if you bring it. So if you bring food, there's food, and there'll be spiritual food. So we'll enjoy a good night tonight at 5:30 around the book of Romans. So with that, would you join me in just a word of prayer this morning? Let's pray together. God, we come before you this morning humbly and grateful. Lord, thank you for the joy of this day that you have provided. You have given us life in our bodies. You have given us air in our lungs. You have given us voices that we can use to praise and worship you this morning, and we're grateful. And Lord, it's still morning, and yet so many good things have already come our way. The joy of shelter, the joy of clean water coming out of taps, warm water, the joy of food on the table. Thank you for friends who understand us, for the joy of meeting new friends. And Lord, we're thankful that we are here in this church, in this room, assured by your presence with us. And we're thankful that we can be joined by our West End family, those joining us online through the miracle of technology. And so, Lord, we're thankful that we can join together in worshiping you, our Creator and our Redeemer. And yet, Lord, as we sit here this morning, in the midst of the joys and the gratitude that we feel, In all honesty, Lord, we admit that we come with a lot of fears. Some of us have fears about school, or new relationships, or new jobs. We don't know how we'll do or how we'll feel. And we're a bit nervous, and we want things to go well. Lord, there are fears about health, aches and pains that won't go away, symptoms that are unexplained, treatments that we hope will be effective. And some of us, Lord, have financial fears. Will we find work? Or is our work secure? Or how will we pay these bills? Have we saved enough for the future? And then there's the fear of loneliness that strikes all of us at some point, especially during these pandemic days. We fear that we won't find people to love, or that we'll lose people that we do love. God of hope, thank you that you are with us in all of our fears and anxieties and doubts and troubles, and that you bring joy even in the midst of all of that. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us, each and every one of us, through time in so many ways, for the ways that you have been there for us in the past, and for the assurance that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from your wonderful love in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so now this morning, Father, we pray for folks in our little church family. We continue prayers for Dave and Pam Visser as they mourn the loss of Dave's mom. And now this morning, Lord, we add to that prayers for Dawn and Randy Smits as they mourn the loss of Dawn's mother this past week. Lord, we pray that you will give these families the assurance of your presence, your comfort, your peace. And Lord, teach us all that life does not have to end in despair. It does not. But it can end in joy and even celebration. So Lord, we pray for these families. Thank you for the lives of their parents, their faith, the impact that they've had in so many different ways on those families with kids and grandkids. And Lord, we pray again for your comfort and peace to be upon them. Lord, help us this week as we go to work, as we interact with one another, to have compassion for those who are hurting and wounded. Lord, help us to see and help people who are in need. Forgive us for the times that we have been too wrapped up in our own fears and joys to truly see our neighbor. And help us this week just to embrace the joyful living, being mindful of the gift of each day that you give, remembering our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives in and through us. So, Lord, these are some thoughts on our hearts and minds this morning. These are our prayers today. Receive them, and we pray them, as always, in the strong and tender name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So this morning, we're just going to spend a few minutes looking at one of Jesus' more familiar parables, one of the more familiar stories that he tells. Jesus was a teacher, and his favorite way to teach was to tell stories. It just draws people in, doesn't it? And you begin to identify with the different characters in the story. And one of the things that you want to do when you read and listen to Jesus teaching in stories is to kind of figure out, okay, what's the main point? What's Jesus driving at? What's the main thing that he wants to take out of this story? So this morning, we're going to look at the very familiar story that Jesus tells. Sometimes it's known as the parable of the sower and the scattering of the seeds and so on. So I'm going to give away the main point right at the beginning here, if that's okay. This is a story, this is a parable about growth. It's about growth, which, by the way, is God's desire for his kingdom, his desire for every single one of us as human beings. Growth is a normal sign of health, isn't it? When anything alive is healthy, it grows. And I'm telling you, there's something miraculous about growth, isn't there? I can remember when we took our first child home from the hospital many years ago now, but I still remember it. Took our first child home from the hospital. I was just struck by the amazing rate of his growth. You know, so we took him home, and he weighed about a little more than 7 pounds, and then he ate and ate and ate in unbelievable quantities. And by the time he was 1 year old, he weighed just a little over 20 pounds. He had tripled his weight in 1 year. And so I figured it out. You know, if he kept tripling his weight every year, by the time he was five, he'd weigh 567 pounds. Man, growth is amazing. It's awesome, right? And we grow in other ways, right? We celebrate the growth of our children. We long for it, right? So about 1 year old, that child begins to take those little first steps on their own, right? And right, remember, all the adults are on the ground, you know, cheering and encouraging and clapping and celebrating as if no other human being had ever walked upright before. And the child is growing and developing, and it's awesome, right? The real desire in the heart of a parent who loves a child is for growth. We want them to grow. Growth is a sign of a healthy life, physically and in so many other ways, right? When we're alive, if we're healthy, we're growing. We're gaining new skills. We're mastering new tasks, right? Growth is a sign of life. It's a normal condition. Listen, when you stop growing, you start dying. When you stop growing, you start dying. And I'm telling you, there's no greater tragedy than stagnation. Some of you might know this because you maybe work in this area or so on, but there's actually a medical diagnosis for a baby that is not growing and developing properly. And it goes by the letters FTT. Anybody know what that stands for? FTT? Failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. See, thriving is normal. Thriving is what we were born to do as human beings, right? And I'm telling you, this is true in our spiritual lives too. God wants you to grow. Every single one of you. Whether you're 5 or 10 or 20 or 60 or 91 or 92 or more, God wants you to grow. God wants you, each and every one of you, to be able to reflect the character of Jesus more accurately and more faithfully tomorrow than you did yesterday. God wants you to know and understand his redemptive plan for the world. And by the way, not just know it, but participate in it and partner with God in building the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God wants you to grow. God wants you to love somebody tomorrow that you couldn't love yesterday. God wants you to find that sin has just less and less hold on you. It just doesn't look good to you anymore because it's not. God wants you to be able to share your faith with greater boldness and effectiveness because it's just the core of who you are and it just flows out of you. I'm telling you, God's desire for you is that you be able to pray more deeply, speak more truly, rejoice more fervently, and forgive more freely with every passing day and year, so that by the time you shuffle off this planet someday, people can look at you and say, now there was a human being who walked with God. That's life. Jesus wants us to grow and thrive. And so this morning, we need to think a little bit about some of those barriers to growth, you know? Is your growth stymied by anger or fear? Is your hope suffocated by doubt? Is your heart made smaller by sin? You know, Jesus saw people like that. FTT, failure to thrive. And Jesus wanted people in his day to get it, to grow, to thrive, to reflect his character, to participate in his kingdom work. He wants the same thing for us. This is not an optional extra, everybody. Like, oh, well, maybe I'll grow, maybe I won't. This is not optional. This is for every single one of us as disciples of Jesus. Jesus wants us to grow. So, as Jesus normally does to make his point, he tells a story. So let's listen to the story with this main point about growth already in mind, okay? And then we'll talk about it a little bit this morning. So let me invite you this morning, if you're able, to stand, and we're going to honor God as we listen to his holy word. This is from Matthew 13, parable of the sower. So that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And that's the story. And then a few verses later, beginning in verse 18, Jesus explains his story. He says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. It says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and make it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And that's the word of God this morning. You can sit down. So as Jesus tells this story, you hear that it's also a story about these three elements, right? These three elements. It's a story about seeds, sower, and soil. And this is one of those parables where, you know, you kind of look at those elements and you kind of figure out, you know, which ones hold constant? Which ones don't change? And then which one changes? Which one is the variable? Because when you figure out which one the variable is, then you kind of get the hinge to the whole story and the point that Jesus is driving at. And here, it's seeds, sower, and soil. And in this story, the seeds do not change. Right? This is not a story about good seeds and bad seeds. The seed, the word of God, the word of the kingdom, the good news stays the same, and it will always bear fruit if you just give it half a chance. Seeds don't change. And in this story, the sower doesn't change. This is not a story about good sowers and bad sowers. In fact, the thing that you notice here about the sower is just how generous he is with his seed, right? He's scattering it everywhere, all over the place. So the sower doesn't change. The seeds don't change. So what's the variable? Well, take a guess, right? It's pretty simple, right? It's not the sower, it's not the seeds. The variable, of course, is the soil. It's the soil. The soil is what changes here. Whether or not the seed takes root and flourishes and thrives depends on the soil. And the soil, of course, represents you and me. Just human beings. And you can replace the word soil with your heart, just with your life. Growth is normal. It's a gift from God. We can't force it or necessarily make it happen, but there are barriers that can prevent it. And so this morning, I want you to think personally a little bit more about how God may want you to grow. How does God want you to grow and develop and advance as a disciple of Jesus Christ in this coming year? So let's do a little soil analysis, shall we? And I want to ask you to look at your heart and look at your life and maybe find out, are there barriers to growth? You know, are there some things that maybe need to change? Are there some New Year's resolutions that I need to make around spiritual growth and life that I haven't thought about? So let's think through these different kinds of soil conditions. So first of all, Jesus says that some seed fell on the path. Now, people walk on the path. Animals walk on the path. It's dry, it's hard. And if a seed falls on hard ground, well-traveled ground, it really doesn't have a chance, right? And so I think what Jesus is saying here about spiritual life and growth is that growth requires soil that is soft. Growth requires soil that is soft. And of course, you can just replace the word soil with your heart. You know, Jesus understands how it is with people. There are many people who sort of become hard in their hearts toward God. You know, right? Just hard toward God and hard toward His Word. And maybe these people have been hurt. Maybe they've been hurt by the church. Or somebody in the church. Or something that somebody said in the church or something like that. And so they form this protective coat around them. And maybe they become cynical and bitter and just hard toward God. And the evil one comes along and snatches away that seed. And Jesus says, you have to do a little soil analysis. And you have to ask yourself, is my heart soft and tender and open towards God? Is it receptive? Or is it hard? You know, some people have experienced a loss. A serious loss, a tragic loss. You know, something like Job in the Old Testament, right? You've lost a loved one, and it was bad, and it was horrible. And you ask why, and you don't understand. And you sort of blame God, and you've got this little hard spot in your heart toward God because of this event, because of what happened to you. Some of you may be in this condition right now this morning. And I think God is tugging at you right now. Some of you have a hard spot in your heart because of a relationship. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody and you're holding on to bitterness and resentment. Will you ask God to make you tender? You know, some of you have been disappointed. You had a dream that was dashed, something didn't work out, a hope wasn't realized, and so you become disappointed by that and cynical with that. You tend to believe the worst about folks. You don't really have a lot of gratitude, and so you tend to complain about stuff. You have hard soil that needs to be broken up, that must be plowed, maybe softened, by the tears of repentance. Now, I don't know, but my guess is that if soil had feelings, it would not like this plowing business very much at all, right? If you were to ask soil, hey, soil, would you like to be plowed? I think the soil would say, you know, I think I'll take a pass on the plowing thing. Thank you very much. I'm just going to remain hard here because plowing kind of hurts. But friends, it's not the worst pain. It's not. I'll tell you what the worst pain is. The worst pain is to remain hard and barren and empty and never bear fruit at all. That's the worst pain. And here's the thing. There's good news for hard soil. Because when it comes to a seed, right, all it takes is one little opening. We know this, right? Just give the seed a crack, just a little crack, and the seed is very strong. We've all seen a sidewalk, right? A little crack with some seed or blade of something that's forcing itself up through a concrete sidewalk. Well, the seed, the Word of God, is powerful beyond imagining. There can be enormous hardness. But you just give it one little opening, just one little opening. Some of you feel that hardness in your heart this morning, and God is waiting. He's waiting for you just to give him one little opening, just a one little word of prayer. God, whatever you need to do, whatever it is, I want you to plow up the hardness of my heart, God, so please do it. God, I want to be tender-hearted towards you. I want to be soft and receptive to you. I want to be grace-filled with my spouse and my kids and my grandkids and my friends. You say that prayer and God will begin to soften hard soil. Because if there's going to be growth, the soil has to be soft. And then Jesus said that some seed fell on the rocky places where there wasn't much soil. Now, people understood all about this business of, you know, rocky ground and shallow soil. Because if you go to Israel, Israel is just a land filled with rocks and stones. They're everywhere, right? And so if a farmer is going to plant something, sometimes it kind of comes out in the dirt and the roots just immediately hit rocks or stones, and it has no chance to spread or flourish or grow at all. And I think what Jesus is saying here in terms of spiritual life is that growth requires soil that is deep. Growth requires soil that is deep. So just, again, look at your heart. Look at your life. Do a little soil analysis. Is your faith putting down deep roots, deep devotion? There's an author named Richard Foster. He's kind of writes a lot on spiritual life and spiritual growth. He's kind of an expert on this in this area. And this is what he says in one of his books on this topic. He says, superficiality is the curse of this age. Superficiality is the curse of this age. It's a shallow world. Shallow relationships, superficial conversations, hurried moments of prayer, too much TV, superficial commitments, and he says this characterizes people's lives, even in the church. Just a shallow commitment to church, a shallow commitment to worship, to service, to ministry, to participation. You know, and it's just a superficial thing. We can appear to each other to be fine, right? I'm good. I'm fine. Praise the Lord. And it's just kind of a facade. Trouble hits. Somebody is asked to do something. Something is demanded of them. And then they discover that the roots don't go deep enough to sustain life. It's very common in our world. Just a lack of commitment. When things are easy, I do fine. When things get difficult, well, then I bail, right? Change jobs, change marriage partners, change churches. Roots require time and endurance. So, what kind of depth is there in your life? What kind of depth is there? Do you have deep conversations with other people? Maybe about spiritual matters or their needs, their cares and things like that. When somebody comes to you and kind of tells you a hard truth about yourself, something that maybe needs to change, how do you respond? You know, do you stiffen up and defend and deny? Or are you open and receptive Is there depth in your life and walk with Jesus? When's the last time you had a deep conversation, a deep, unhurried time of prayer where you just shared your joys and your trials with God? I mean, I hope you make a commitment to do that. I hope you do. I mean, just think how it must feel to the sower, to God, to sow seed that doesn't bear fruit. And maybe you want to say today, God, I want to have deep roots in you. So Jesus says that growth requires soil that is soft. He says that growth requires soil that is deep. And then he talks about a third kind of soil here. He says some seed fell among the weeds and the thorns. Anybody who's a farmer knows about weeds and thorns, right? Now, this part of the story involves soil that's soft enough and deep enough to sustain growth. The problem here is just clutter. It's just clutter. The problem is the soil is wasting its nutrients and life on weeds, and the seed just gets choked out by competition. It's not bad soil. It's just cluttered soil. It's just clutter. So a question here. Anybody in this room this morning have any clutter in their lives? Anybody? You know, clutter, it sounds like such a small nuisance, doesn't it? But I want to suggest that in some ways, this is the most dangerous soil condition of them all because it's so subtle. It's just so subtle because your life is not necessarily cluttered with bad things. You know, it doesn't seem to be too terrible. You know, if you're in this condition, you're able to say, you know, my heart's not hard toward God. You know, I'm not defiant or rebellious toward Him. It's not like my life is deliberately superficial. You know, it's just clutter. But Jesus says that this is a deadly enemy of spiritual life. It can choke the spiritual energy right out of you and drain you of purpose. So even though you're not deliberately hard or shallow, it leads to the same end result. There's no spiritual life. It's just failure to thrive. And Jesus is so wise here about this condition. He says that clutter involves things like the cares of this world. Right? You know, the cares of this world. You know, oh, what might happen? What will I do? What might go wrong? What will I wear? What shall I say? What will people think of me? Just a mind cluttered with the cares of the world. Or Jesus here talks about the lure of wealth or the deceitfulness of wealth. I think that probably applies to our culture, right? There are so many distractions. There are so many voices. There are so many invitations that come our way all over the place in the culture. And it is so distracting and it draws us away from God. And Jesus says, where there is clutter, all you will ever have is a weed patch. And some of you, honestly, need to do some weeding. Because here's the thing about weeds. Rarely do weeds just go away on their own. Weeds don't do that. You know, they get someplace and they stay there and they stick around. In fact, they invite friend weeds to come over and have little baby weeds. And pretty soon the weeds have taken over the whole garden, right? That's just the way clutter works. It's so subtle. Not necessarily bad things, but all of a sudden you look up on your life and you go, oh man, I got all this stuff and all this clutter and all these things. And some of you need to do some weeding. Will you remove clutter from your life? Will you get serious about weeding? Because it'll lead to failure to thrive. Otherwise, hard heart, shallow faith, cluttered lives, they choke the spiritual vitality right out of us. But, Jesus says, He says where the soil is soft and where the soil is deep and where the soil is uncluttered, Jesus says, watch out. You won't believe what will happen. If your heart is tender and soft toward God, if your devotion is deep and rooted, if your life is uncluttered, then I'm telling you, your growth is just unstoppable. It just is. It's unstoppable, and you're going to thrive. You're going to reflect the character of Jesus. You're going to live into his redemptive purpose in your life. Now, people in Jesus' day, they knew what a good harvest looked like. And the harvest that Jesus describes here is unbelievable. You know, often in Jesus' stories, he uses exaggeration to picture the abundance and the richness of the kingdom of God. And that's what he does here. This is not just a good harvest, you know, double or triple or something like that. He says 30, 60, 100-fold, beyond people's ability to imagine. The point that he's making is that the fruitfulness that God desires for his kingdom and for his people is beyond comprehension or human ability. God wants you to grow and thrive. And of course, personal growth is good. And you should set some goals. And you should be intentional about how that's going to work and what that's going to look like in the year 2022 and beyond. Because I've just got news for you. It doesn't happen. You don't just wake up one morning and go, oh, cool, I grew in Christ today. That was awesome. It doesn't work that way. You have to be intentional. So personal growth obviously is good. But God wants more. You say, seriously? Seriously, he wants more? Yeah, God wants you not only to grow personally and individually, but he wants you to become an active participant in kingdom service and in building the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because this is not just a personal thing. It is not a passive thing. The Christian life is not a spectator sport. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, he said, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Good works, prepared for us to do. In fact, one of the other reasons that Jesus told this story was to encourage his followers in this. We are also called to be sowers. And we're given the privileges as disciples of Jesus to sow seed, to build the kingdom. Now, I'm telling you, if you sign up for this, I have to warn you, it's not going to be easy. If you want to get on board with service and ministry and participation in God's redemptive purpose and all that, this is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. It's going to involve a lot of sweat and effort. And Jesus knew how it would go for his disciples and for us. And part of what he's saying here is, just know this ahead of time. When you sow seed and when you work in ministry and all of that, sometimes it will fall on unresponsive soil. Often it will fall where the soil is hard or where it's shallow. And it will look good for a little while, but then it will disappear. Or where there is clutter and it will spring up and then just get choked out. Jesus says, often when you are sowing seed like this, you're going to be tempted to give up. And Jesus would say, don't do it. Don't you dare give up, because the harvest is coming, because sometimes conditions are right. And when that happens, watch out, because it's kingdom dynamite. You know, we want to be like the sower in Jesus' story. Just scattering seed everywhere. You know, whenever I get to this story in my teaching with my college students, I always can't wait to say this. I say, I give you all permission to be promiscuous. And they go, oh, what? What? No, I don't mean like that. I mean promiscuous in your ministry for God, in scattering seed, the word of the gospel, the word of Jesus Christ. Just scatter it everywhere on people who are, you know, just unlovable. And maybe to most people seem unacceptable. You love them. You accept them. You scatter seed on everybody. And here's the thing. Some of you have done that, right? Some of you have done that. You've worked, you've prayed, you've sweat, you've asked, and you didn't get the results that you hoped for. And you're tempted to say, well, all right then, something must have gone wrong. God's not fulfilling his end of the deal. The system must not work right. You know, Jesus said, just expect it, friends. Sometimes there's hard soil or shallow soil or cluttered soil, and maybe it's going to be about a 3-to-1 ratio, like in Jesus' story. But here's the deal, Jesus said, your job is to sow seed. Just be like the sower. Throw it everywhere, on everybody. Your job is not to make the growth happen. Jesus, that's a miracle whenever it happens. You just sow. And if you're tempted to get discouraged, just think about Jesus, about the sower and all the failure that he experienced. I mean, Jesus drew great crowds around him, and then they, most of them melted away when he began to speak about hard truth. John 6 says that many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You know, the religious leaders, who you think would be most open to God, they were such bad soil that they're the ones who had him crucified. His disciples deserted him. His own family questioned him. The Romans washed their hands of him and furnished the cross. The whole crowd taunted him. And you would think he'd be wondering, as he was looking from the cross, as he was looking down, thinking to himself, did any of this seed really take? Was any of this worth doing? Is there ever going to be any growth from any of this? Or was this whole thing just a waste? You'd think he'd be wondering that as the crowd mocked and his friends deserted him. And on the cross, right, there's that one thief that mocks, right? Hey, save yourself and save us. And then there's the other thief, criminal, wasted life, bad soil. But he turns to Jesus. And remember he said? He said, Jesus, would you remember me? And Jesus, on the final day of his life, with some of the last breaths that he would draw on this earth, he thinks to himself, maybe, just maybe, this is good soil. And he throws down one more seed with some of his last breaths and last words. The sower throws down one more seed, and then he dies. But of course, he didn't stay dead, because the tomb couldn't hold his life any more than the soil can keep the life of a seed underground. And Jesus understood all about this because he was the wisest man that ever lived. And he told his friends, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain of wheat, sterile and barren. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I'm telling you, the fruit is still growing. The harvest is not over yet. So do not get discouraged, people. Do not. And don't quit sowing seed, because the sower is at work. And maybe, just maybe, the next one is going to take root. God's desire for you is to grow and thrive. And God's desire for you is to partner with him with the gifts that he has given you in the power of the Holy Spirit to build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What else do you want to do? What else is there? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the life that you so lavishly fling to all corners of the earth, on every kind of soil, on every human being. Lord, thank you for the life that the ground could not hold, that keeps springing up. God, make it spring up in us, please. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and worship.
Thank you so much for coming this morning and sharing this time of worship. Have a great day. And now receive God's blessing. Go forth to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may God fill you with his Holy Spirit and equip you to sow the seeds of the gospel and so build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Go in peace. Amen.